Hey, we're selling a base Chabad and olive press. Just want to again go over how the olive press works. Base is two parts to pressing, to making olive oil in the old school, and this is second century of the common era. The first part is they collect the olives, they wash them, and they put them in this big basin called a yam, and then they will press the olives with this thing called the mammal, which is like the mammal is a heavy millstone. Okay, which grinds them to a pulp and makes like olive paste. What comes out first and easy is it oozes out of the olives. That's the virgin olive oil. That's great if you're rich and famous or want to make, you know, manure in the base of Mikdash. But for regular people, that's not what they dealt with. They use a lower grade oil. So what they did is they had to first grind up the olives into like an olive paste with this, by piling them into the yam and then using the mammal to crush it. They go around for like 30 or 40 minutes of crushing. That makes like, you know, it's as fine as possible. The finer the grinding, of course, the more oil can get out of it. So you grind it to a paste. Then they would smear the paste on these like boards called the chirin. Okay, and they would be like each layer of the boards. They'd be like a peanut butter sandwich, like triple decker, you know, olive paste sandwich. They'd stack them on like that. And what they're gonna do is they're gonna apply pressure on these boards that the oil oozes out of them. So what they did is, on top of the akira in the boards, they put this like a press. How the press set up? There's like these two beams on either side of it. Those are these standing pillars. Those are called the basulos. And there's a cross beam that goes over the boards, and then through the cross beam there's a screw, a galgal, which allows them to screw into it and tighten like a vise pushing down on the board to squeeze the juice out of the olive paste. The old school first century olive presses didn't even have a lever arm. They simply used the screw for pressure. Then in the second century they developed this kora, this like lever arm, which allows, like, you know, you have a massive torque. You only can make the screw so tight, obviously, because there's a hard you're pushing down this way, you're pushing up this way, and that will rip to shreds the cross beam, so I can't push down that tight. Made out of wood, not made out of, you know, steel vise. So therefore what they would do, they developed is like this long lever arm lever arm, I don't know, this is a word I can't think of right now, to crush, to add weight, to put a lot of extra pressure on the olive paste, we can go up more and faster. And then this they would actually add weights to. On the core, they actually have stones hanging off, heavy stones, to apply a long-term ongoing weight down to drain out these olives. That's what we saw, if you remember, in the very beginning of Shabbos. We talked about basically Bishamai discussing if you can leave this setup on over Shabbos where it's working for you to ooze and to get more oil out of the olives. I guess that's the setup here. Now,
do you remember on that?
We pass like Beis Hill that it's a machlokas if you need Shvisas Kalim, if your Kalim need to rest also. Beis Shammai said they do and therefore be Aser. Beis Hill says they don't, therefore it's Yunin Mutter. Okay, that's
it
then.
Well,
we pass in like Beis Hill, that's Mutter to do. Your dishwasher can work for you on Shabbos. Okay, yeah. Okay, so the Mishnah.
Shabbos clock or whatever.
Exactly. So the Mishnah, hey, says a mocher is a base abad. If you're going to sell a base abad, oh, but I told you, you can see these. You can see the yam and memel. You can see right here in Park Ilo, and there's some lying around over there. Right, this is very common to see. There's these big, massive memels. They're massive, you know, stones. They're not going to go anywhere. But in Beit Guvrin, that underground house, they have a beautiful setup, two huge, fully equipped, and just like this, essentially high tech for the second century base of oil presses, and you should go check them out. Okay, so a mocher es beis habad. If a person says, I'm agreeing to sell my oil press to you, mocher es yam, of course, the permanent fixture of the yam, the big stone basin in which it's going, that goes, in which the olives go, that's in the sale. Ves a mamal, the mamal, the grind, the millstone, the massive stone, again, it's huge and permanent, and therefore it's included. Vesa basulos, also the permanent structure of these two standing beams, massive standing beams, that are go where the olives get pressed. Avlo machra es achirin, the actual boards themselves are not included. Now, exactly why is a bit of a, I'm not 100% clear why. These boards, I guess, are people, there are people who borrow them. Maybe they're more expensive than these, and they're portable. So those two reasons, they're more expensive and they're less, you know, necessarily permanent. People can take them with them.
Maybe it has to do with the quality of the board from the point of view of, like, you know, with, in a winery, a barrel. It's this, or maybe all the wood.
Maybe.
The same.
I think
if you have high end wood, you'd rather not leave it to the guy. If you want to take it with you for the next one.
Maybe. I don't know. Someone suggests about Kashrus and about Tuma. I'm not sure.
Mishraim Rara says, Kol Ilum Metalton.
Right, they're moved. The first thing, you could take them, so I guess you do take them. They're not included permanently. But they're obviously functionally part of. The reason why I'm waffling is they're functionally obviously a part of a oil press. You can't have an oil press without these things. But it must be that, like I said, it could be that people borrowed them. I don't know. Yeah, it could
clay,
be.
Clay, yeah?
It's clay.
So therefore, it could be a problem. So you're not going to take someone's pots, right? If you don't really know the
person. Right, that could be part of it, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how do you kosher wood? You can't.
Right.
That's why it doesn't make sense.
Could be that's also an issue in bad. But I think, economically, you only do this once a year. Let's say in the course of like a few days, you do your year's worth of your tarvis and you do your pressing. So I think it would make economic sense for lots of different presses to share the equipment, right? And now if they're metalton, that means several presses could share the same boards. You know, I'll do it this week and you'll use it next week, or you know, and that reasonable and save us money. Obviously, it's totally impractical for me to borrow your yam or your mamul because this thing's weigh a ton each. You know, they're massive. They're not going anywhere. They're kavu. And same with these massive basulos. They're stuck on the ground. They're not going anywhere. But these things that are portable, that the metalathlin, I guess we will share them. So therefore, they're not. It's like, you know, it's more than, you know. You know, it's like it's something along the lines of, you know, like. If I sell you my printer, not the ink cartridges or something like that. You know, like that, you can share those. That's exactly a good example. But anyways, I don't have a better one at the minute. Why do people? We're so rich today. We don't share anything. We don't share anything. What's more, we share nowadays. We don't share anything anymore. But so it's hard for us to get our head around it. Like everything has to be totally prefab, and like when one piece of it breaks, it's still the whole thing in the garbage, and like you know, get a new one. So that's not what's going on. These are expensive equipment. Especially look at this picture with like the holes coming out of the board. This is like a sophisticated piece of equipment. And the next thing that's not included, the galgal. Now the galgal is the screw. Now I'm only again just an educated guess. I'm just going to say it. This must have been an incredibly expensive piece of equipment because it's made out of wood and it has to, you know, go through. Yeah, it has to be precisionally made to work as a screw with an exactly equal gauge in every. I don't know what the words are. Each rung of the down the spiral. Obviously, if from here to here is 2 inches, and from here to here 3 inches, it's not going to work. It's not going to go down the thing. So it's a handmade wooden carved massive screw, which I'm sure took the carpenter days and days and days and days to make precise so it doesn't get stuck inside. So that's for that reason. I can certainly imagine that this thing is portable and probably costs the equivalent of like $1,000. So good. So I'll use it this week and use it next week. What's the big deal? Well, sure. We'll each pay $500. It's movable. Therefore, it's not included in the thing. And same goes for the core, the beam, which again is like portable and would not be included. I don't see this being an expensive piece of equipment, but just since it is portable, they're not included. If I say I'm selling you my olive press and everything that goes with it, of course that includes then the boards and the beam and everything. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hamocheres Beis Abad, Macheres Akora. He says, sort of what I was hinting to before, which is, although he agrees that the Akiran, the boards, and the Galgal, the screw, are not included, the Korah, which I guess is like, I'm not sure if his issue really is because it's big and therefore it's more permanent, or because it's cheap and therefore people don't borrow them, or both. Some combination of the two, but the Korah stays behind, says Rabbi Eliezer. However, the Halacha doesn't follow him anyways. The Halacha is that since it's not a comma, the core is not included.